You're listening to Here to Help on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To me, it's like you see a need and you do something. And I think this is what they've done. They saw a need and they think, we can help. And we know people that like to help. And with anything, I mean, in your own community, so many times you see people's needs. It just takes those people to just say, let's do something about it.
This is what Sydney Hacking did. It was during a business trip to Tijuana, Mexico, that she decided to make a difference. She offered her time and resources to an orphanage there that housed over 50 children in need. Sydney and her family had visited the orphanage in the past to volunteer. She soon realized she needed more help. In order to finish the girls' dormitory, she needed skilled construction workers. She prayed for help, and soon families approached her that wanted to be involved. Producer Danny Hayes documented Sydney and her volunteers during their visit to the orphanage, where Sydney's dream is coming true.
I was intrigued when I first heard what Sydney was doing. She's a retired kindergarten teacher who was drawn to this specific orphanage. She still works full-time, and she puts all her earnings into the orphanage. I joined her and her group of 10 in Mexico to see what they do. We flew into San Diego, California, and drove across the border into Mexico. We were eager to get to the orphanage, meet the children, and get to work. Curious kids and the orphanage directors were there to welcome us.
Hola.
Hola.
Thank you guys for coming down here.
Thanks for having us.
No. Thank you for coming down here. But anyway, we want to thank you guys very much. My wife and I are the directors of the place. Date prisa, chica, por favor. You guys, anybody else speak Spanish?
Si.
Okay. Don't worry. You guys can speak your Spanish. They won't laugh at you for the most part.
Most of us did not know any Spanish, so we could only get as far as saying, hola, ¿cómo te llamas? Or, hello, what is your name? Kevin, the co-director of the orphanage, took us on a tour where we had a constant parade of little ones at our sides. In the orphanage, there are girl and boy dormitories, a cafeteria, a school, and staff apartments. The girls' dorm was our last stop and where we would be spending most of our time. Sydney's dream for the orphanage is to make it feel less institutional and more like a home. During this trip, she was planning on finishing the girls' dorm by painting the walls, fixing the ceiling, and adding trim and decorations.
Okay, so we're supposed to figure out how many beds will fit in here so we know how many to put together. They just put the little ones in here. So if we do put together five beds, we'll need to do five beds, baseboard, trim around the doors.
What about trim around the windows?
Yes. Yeah, we already have trim for that.
Even though they weren't supposed to, the girls had colored on one of the walls in the dorm. The team decided to make that into a chalk wall so they could always have a place to draw.
Oh, chalk wall.
Oh, she's saying that they love to draw, so we can even make this just like a chalk paint.
Do that chalk paint.
Oh.
They make a paint that is for that.
So they can keep doing that.
They can keep doing it.
Then they can just do it.
They can keep doing it over and over.
Yeah, we can see if they've got some of that chalk. I don't know what they call it.
They call it chalk paint.
Do they call it chalk paint?
You can get it in spray. Or
it's blackboard paint.
I mean, if you have a paint sprayer.
Blackboard.
Yeah, that would be fun to have them have that.
The team arrived at the orphanage early the next morning with their supplies. They were sporting matching T-shirts with the words "We Care" printed on them. The plan for the day was to get new matching bedding for all the girls' beds, as well as putting together the new toddler beds. One of the volunteers named Kara was figuring out what was needed for bedding with Jackie, one of the staff members.
So we're trying to count the beds. Is it 13 or 14?
Just do all the beds, you know why? Because if we get another girl or something, we're going to have it. One girl left, usually another girl comes.
Everybody needs one because the little girls right now, there's two bunking because they're small, two in one bed. So when they get older, we're going to put like maybe Esmeralda will be in her own bed, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. And then what about pillows? Because one of the little girls
we don't have any.
And do you like pillows?
They love pillows, but we don't have them.
You don't have
them? We just have whatever.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Basically, we need three more.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Because
we got 12.
Whatever girl, the one girl she got adopted.
Oh,
which
cool.
is cool.
That's awesome.
It's just that we'll probably get another girl.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because we have like so many we're taking all the time.
Okay.
There's like our base or whatever.
Okay. So Ben is looking at the directions on how to build this bed. We've attempted. This is.
We're fixing a couple.
Yeah, we had to fix a couple. We had to take a couple apart to fix it. So now he's reading the instructions. on the proper way to put the headboard on. So that's what we're doing right now.
We ordered them before we came. And they all arrived. They actually doubled our order. So, yeah. So, we're supposed to get 6. We got 12. Just so we have enough.
Is this the right place? Is this the right place? Oh, yeah. This is the headboard. And we have excited children running in and out of the room.
Part of the team was in the cafeteria making do-it-yourself decorations to add color to the dorm. I asked volunteers Melissa and Kara what they were doing.
We are covering corkboard squares with fabric, with fun, cute fabric, in hopes to dress up the girls' dorm. And then we're hanging them on the wall in kind of a cute pattern, and then we took pictures of them and are hanging the photos onto the corkboard squares. And so they'll kind of have a place where they can look up and see that they're part of a family and part of something and feel important and see their picture up there. And then if they want to, they can maybe pin up some of their own little things onto the corkboard. Have their own personal squares.
Well, I think it's important for everybody to have their own space and to be able to show off their selves and their artwork to their family and friends and whoever comes around. I think it's it shows their importance and their individuality.
A little girl came in, Leslie came in while we were doing this, and was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're making these," and we told her what we were doing. And she was so excited, like, "This is mine? This is mine? I can hang my picture?" And she was so excited. And then we were asked her what one her favorite one was, because they're all different patterns. And she's like, "I like all of them, whatever one."
And we asked her, "Which one would you like? Which one's your favorite?" You know, because we have to distribute these to the girls. And she could not decide which one she liked. She cannot choose. She says all of them. So.
The volunteers liked seeing what effect their service was making. They got to see how excited the girls were when they were bringing in the new bedding. Kara speaks Spanish and was helping me understand what the girls were saying.
Thank you. She's saying, "Yay, I have pillows and sheets. My very own. Yeah, para tu cama, for my bed.
Oh, you want some of them?
Para ustedes. ¿Te gusta? I'm going to take it to my bed.
Where's your bed?
¿Dónde está tu cama? Abrirlo. She wants to open it and put it on now. Están diciendo, or they're telling all the girls now, so they're all coming running to get their bed spread.
Espera, espera.
So soft. So cozy.
Well, I never saw anybody more excited about sheets.
Sleeping?
¿Por qué estás sonriendo? Why are you smiling so much? ¿Por qué?
Almohada.
Vamos a comprar uno. Una almohada. She's so excited. ¿Dónde está tu cama? Where's your bed?
Hi.
¿Y te gusta? Do you like it?
Mucho, me encanta.
I love it. I love it so much.
Una pijama y una pantufla.
She's asking me for something that I don't know what it is. Una pilla.
La pilla mayuna.
¿Qué es una pilla? ¿Me explica? ¿Qué? ¿Otra vez? ¿Una pilla?
Pijama.
Ah, la pijama.
Oh, pijama.
Y una pantufla.
She wants to get on her pajamas right now.
Y pantuflas, ¿eh? Pantuflas.
Pantuflas.
También.
¿Y qué es pantuflas?
Pantuflas, the shoes, the pajama shoes.
Oh, slippers. Slippers. She's saying pajamas and slippers.
Oh.
Hi, I'm happy.
Little did they know that Sydney was planning on sending them pajamas for Christmas. The volunteers also got to know the directors of the orphanage. Sarah, Kevin's wife, told me about how the orphanage began and why her family got involved in the project.
The orphanage started in 1988. We started working with 11 children that had been released from the penitentiary because they went there to live with their parents who were sentenced. And so although they were innocent, you know, they had nothing to pay, They were taken there to live in the most horrible conditions, and that's what motivated, you know, this couple who are the founders to open the orphanage and to want a rescue. So these are children that have nobody.
Why it's important to you that these kids grow up with a faith in the Lord?
Because that's all they're going to have. When they know that parents are going to fail them, we ourselves are going to fail them, but there is somebody out there, you know, greater than them, that they can trust in, and that they can know that they know that we'll never abandon them and forsake them. Then they can do it. They can make it. We have seen it firsthand. We have seen the healing that the kids receive. You know, you really gotta have a vocation. You really gotta have the love of God to go and hug a child that is going to spit on your face, that is going to kick and fight because they're so full of anger. Because that's what happens when they're rejected and they are, you know, emotionally abused and think that they are trash, you know. And seeing them receive purpose and receive guidance and an opportunity, that's all they need. And they'll thrive. And we have to teach them. So to me, that's why it's important that they know, you know, that they have a faith.
We're back in the studio now with Sydney and two of the people who went with her, Nathan Oxenhurt, a neighbor and a friend from her church, and Tony Spencer, her son-in-law. So let's begin by talking to you, Sydney, about how this project began. It wasn't through an organization. It was just something you wanted to do. Tell me a little bit about the business trip when you were down there and how you found out about this orphanage.
And well, it wasn't even something that I thought I wanted to do. I just stumbled into it. A friend, while I was down on the business trip, was going there for a day, and she asked if I'd like to come along, and I said, sure. I thought it would be a great experience. So I went there, and I met the children, and they gave us a tour of the building, and we went home. But the next day, we went to another orphanage for a different reason, for a scout project. And the orphanage was a great contrast to the first one that we went to. The buildings were all well-maintained. They were beautifully decorated and designed. The furniture was modern and nice and clean. It was just such a contrast that when I finally got home, I couldn't stop thinking about the first one and wondering, is there something that I could do to make the first one be a little bit more like the second one? And so that's when I talked to my husband about whether that could be a project that we could take on, and he supported me in that.
And it wasn't through an organization. You and your husband just kind of made a list of things that needed to be done, and
We went back, and at that point we went through with the directors of the orphanage, and we just discussed the things that needed to be done and the things that didn't need to be done and where their priorities were. And one of the things that she mentioned was that they didn't get a lot of produce to feed their children. And their roof is a flat roof. And we just got thinking maybe we could do grow boxes and plant a garden for them. And that way they would be able to afford...
They're a roof garden up on top.
Uh-huh. And that way they could have vegetables to feed the children. And so that was something I felt that I could bite off. It was something that I felt that I could afford to do, and that my husband, he's a contractor, that he could help in that. And then the nursery was in pretty bad shape. It had raw wood for the flooring. The babies, the toddlers, were just sleeping in these little pack-and-plays. And I thought, well, while my husband is doing the garden, maybe I could go down and we could tile the floor and order some youth beds for the toddlers to sleep in, and maybe at least make the nursery presentable in a place that the babies would want to be. So those were two things I just thought, I can do that, and that's mm-hmm. how it got started.
Now, Nathan, tell me how you found out about this project and how you got involved.
Well, as you mentioned before, through our church group, Sydney and George have become friends of mine. I'm also a contractor, mostly drywall, and George and I have worked together many times and have become good friends through both work and our church. And we had talked about it,
And I just, I've always wanted to do something like this. And so many times the opportunities were so much more difficult to attain for someone, you know, a simple guy like me. And this was just something that was right up our alley, and it just felt so doable and attainable.
This didn't require you flying to Central America and hiking 10 miles up a mountain. I mean, you could just drive across the border.
Yeah, that's the way it always seems, is that you gotta, you know, sacrifice lots and lots of money and lots of time that is just really oppressive for a small family and a simple guy like me. And this was just right up my alley. It was something that was affordable and something that just felt good and right.
How about you, Tony? How did you get involved?
I'm the son-in-law, and have a...
It's good in-law relations.
Good in-law relations, yeah. You know, my wife and I, we've always really, wherever we can, we feel like we've been so blessed in our lives that we want to give back and do all we can for other people. And she's always been very, very generous from the heart, and I can't tell you how many times I've come home to find out that she's given my car away or something away to somebody who needed it more than us. She, you know, when she found out about this from her mother, she and my daughter decided that they wanted to go down with and help out. And they went down earlier in the year, and after they got back and told me about all their adventures, you know, they really wanted to make a return trip and have me go with them, so I did.
Now, what did you end up doing? We know Nathan's a contractor. He can hang sheetrock and he can do that kind of thing. Did you have any particular skill, or were you just helping as needed?
I did mostly whatever they needed help with. Sometimes it was painting baseboards or scraping, you know, the flooring or whatever it was that they needed to do. I did have one project that they asked me about. They needed some help with some computers in their lab. They have some really old computers that have been donated to them, but weren't in working condition, and so being a computer guy by trade, I went in there and helped them get that lab fixed up and running so that their kids could go in there and do some of the educational things that they wanted to have them do.
Tell me about your interaction with the children as you were scraping those baseboards or painting them. I mean, did the children crowd around? Did they want to interact with you?
Oh, they love to just dive in and help, and it's so fun. It was so fun to have them come and help. Had a little helper, Gabriel. He was, I don't know how old he is, like 3.5, 4 years old. Just felt like he was, you know, big man on campus and just wanted to jump in and help me carry things up the stairs or whatever it was.
Do you speak any Spanish?
I'm not fluent at all. Mm-hmm. I thought I was until I got down there and realized I don't speak any Spanish.
But you don't need to speak the same language for them to know you care about them.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Nathan, you were kind of mentioning to me before we began the interview that you actually do have a regret about this. What was it?
Well, I was the only one that had, you know, significant sheetrock experience, and one of the bigger parts of what we were doing was resurfacing the entire ceiling in the girls' dorm. And so I was very heavily involved in that, you know, and pressed to get it done. So I just didn't have enough time to spend with the children, you know, for me. That is something that you know, I didn't really realize it as much because we were just so busy. We were doing what we needed to do. But looking back, I really would have liked to have had more interaction with the children, because every time there was interaction, it was really fun, and there was so much love and warmth from the kids. So that was a little disappointing to me. And if we are able to do it again, which I hope we are, you know, I'm going to try to block out some more time so that I'm able to enjoy that part of it.
Well, you told me you're a focus and finish kind of guy, right?
Well, yeah, that's one thing. And Sydney and I talked about that, and I might have even gotten a little aggressive when I was talking about it. I always want to finish a project. And my big concern is that we go down all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and excited to go, and that we wouldn't finish something, that we'd start a lot, but we wouldn't finish. And so it was really important to me that we pick something that we could see through, and we did. And we all worked together and got it done.
You mentioned, particularly you, Tony, that the children loved having you there. Could you tell the appreciation, though, when they saw their dorm look so much better? I mean, could you tell that they appreciated what you had done?
And that's the neat thing about this orphanage. Anything you do for them, they are so grateful. They made cards for every helper. I mean, nice cards that they got together and presented it to us. And then I've gotten several emails since then just saying thank you, that the girls are just taking really good care of it, because they were really trashed before we began. They scribbled on the walls, and they're really taking pride now
in their home. It's a home. It has just become an institution.
Right.
Well, listen, as we close, I mean, it's obvious that you've done something for them and how this service has blessed these girls. I'd like each of you to just take a moment or two and share how it's changed you. Now that you're home, I don't know if it's about appreciation for what we have here or how it's changed your attitudes. But just go around the table one last time. Sydney?
It's made me so appreciative of what I have. And that I've been born into the circumstances I have. I mean, these little ones haven't had a prayer. I tell everyone that when we first went there, they had just found three in the dump. They had been brought to them. Then there was a baby and a two-year-old and a three-year-old that was one family. And their parents had just left them in the dump. And it's just resonated with me that I am so lucky, and that's why I want all my family to go down and see how lucky we are under the circumstances we have.
Tony?
Well, I think one of the things that was interesting to observe was, although these children don't have a lot of personal effects, and it was interesting to me to see them live together kind of as a big family and have love for each other. And, yeah, I mean, they're siblings. They fight. You know, they do what normal siblings would do. But how they were able to be happy without necessarily having all the stuff that we have. Now, in contrast, I always reflect back on the scripture in the New Testament that talks about where much is given, much is required. And I think in our lives where we've been blessed with so much, it just feels natural to want to reach out and do something for others who haven't been blessed with so much. And I really just enjoyed that opportunity.
What about you, Nathan?
I think Tony hit it right on the head, you know, where much is given, you know, much is required. And, you know, so much is required of me. So I knew I was going to be the emotional one. I've never wanted for anything in my life. We've never been wealthy by any stretch of anybody's imagination. But we've always had food on the table. We've always had a warm home.
And you've always had family, these girls.
Always had family. And to see, I really would like to take my children down. And so not to make them feel guilty about being so blessed, but to understand, that when you are blessed like that, you need to give it back. You need to pay it forward, to whatever cliche that you want to use. There's so many wonderful things in our lives. And it's good to go and give back wherever it is. It can be in your neighborhood. It can be south of the border. It can be in your own family. But it's just wonderful to go to a place like this and have such warmth and love given back for just a little bit of work, you know. I mean, it's just something that you do every day.
Well, and what so impressed me about this project and all of you, and this is what we're about here with Here to Help, is you didn't wait for someone else to organize it. And it doesn't have to be a big project or a big organization. When you see something that can be done and you do it, and then your friends join and your family join, you bless lives. Well, thank you so much, all of you, for being with us. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for this episode. I'm your host, Eric Huntsman, and you have been listening to Here to Help on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And just a reminder of the brand new Mormon Channel Kids app, where you can find interactive stories that will entertain and inspire the little ones.